Need to get the word of God in hearts as soon as we can. And I appreciate that. Thank you for kids for coming in the afternoon. And spending their afternoon here learning. I appreciate that. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet when they came in. Just slip your hand up. A few around here, guys. A few down front. Good, many little front down front here. Just hold your hand up till they get there. All right, that's good. I think the kids need some down. Do y'all have one? Or you got them? Oh, you're good. You're good to go. Okay. All right. Hold your hand up. Make sure you don't miss anybody. We're working our way through the book of Ephesians. Of course, the book of Ephesians is Paul speaking to the church. And the church in Ephesus had people from all over the world coming in. And they're going to take all these different people with all their different skills and talents and perspectives. And they're going to try to make one body of Christ out of it. And the thing is, God can do that if you let God do it. If we try to, you know, we try to say, well, this is the way we do it, the way we do it, we do it. You know, we get a lot of problems. And a lot of times, by the way, it's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. You say, well, this is the way we do it. This is the way we've always done it. Never done it that way around here before. And all those kind of things will usually cause an issue before we're done. Let's go ahead and we're going to read 1 through 20. 1 chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 20. You read along. And here we go. He says, be ye therefore, and of course we've talked about why that's therefore. You see the word therefore. He's been teaching us some things here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. By the way, that word convenient there says it doesn't accomplish what you want it to accomplish. You know, the filthiness, the foolish talking, the jesting. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. That doesn't mean you can't joke with one another and you know, tease a little bit. But he says you got to be careful here because some things just don't accomplish what you think it's going to accomplish. Rather, giving thanks, realizing who God is. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So he's saying in verse 5, he says, all this mess, all this stuff, you don't get to heaven going that way. I mean, God's not interested in that. He doesn't want that. And besides that, it brings the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We do our own thing. It's going to cause issues, like we've been talking about on Sunday morning. That wrath is sometimes just like splinters. It's snags. It's issues. It's problems. And disobedience to God usually brings snags and problems. He may not smack you around, you know. He may not have to actually use the rod. But on the other hand, there's times when we realize that our decisions have consequences, and we've got to be careful what we do. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, our life, when we live in the fruit of the Spirit, just like it says in Galatians 5, he says when we have the fruit of the Spirit, it proves, it demonstrates what God wants. In other words, the way we behave is, it may or may not demonstrate what our Father wants us to be doing. We can tell whether we're obedient to our Father by whether we obey our Father. It's like that with our being kids. If we're going to obey Dad, we can show whether we're obedient to him, whether we're not. In fact, the way we obey God shows whether we have fear of our Father or not, whether we have respect toward our Father or not. So he says we need to get rid of those things that are wrong and put the fruit of the Spirit in there, and that'll prove or demonstrate what God wants, what's acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, or whatever makes it appear, what makes it show up, what makes it visible. He says, as light. Wherefore he saith, I wake thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He says, if you want light, wake up. Do what God wants you to do. Let him create in you a new heart. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the word with the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this. What does Daddy want? What does Daddy want? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings, for allowing us to be here in your house this evening. And Lord, we want to be good children. You said that we're supposed to be followers of God as dear children, walking in love. We want to be used of you to see others come to know Christ. In fact, Lord, when we get beyond ourselves, that's where you really start blessing us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. We thank you for these young folks for singing for us and quoting some scripture for us and some things for us. We thank you so much for their willingness to learn your word. I thank you for the workers who come in and stay week after week, all afternoon, so these boys and girls can have a place to come to hear your word. Put it deep in their heart. And Lord, I pray now that you'll bless our time here. Give us your word, and we ask in Christ's name, amen. The last time we were in Ephesians, but about 3 weeks ago, it has some other speakers, we spoke about the topic, just like Daddy. We are the body of Christ. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are to be doing what Christ would be doing if he's here. In fact, he is here in us. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. So we are the body of Christ. If Jesus wouldn't do it, we shouldn't do it. If Jesus would have done it, then we should do it. We are the body of Christ. Every part of a person's body, watch, every part of my body came from my parents. You see what I'm saying, so to speak? So every part of a body has the same daddy. So we are we're all being the same part of the same body of Christ. We're all related. Though there are going to be some variations among us, some differences in personalities, yet there should be many similarities. We're part of the same body. And if we grow up among our parents, then there should also be some similarities in our habits and our customs. We grow up in the Word of God. We all grow up in the same Word of God. There should be some similarities in our habits and our customs. Now, it may be that we eat things that are different. We may dress differently and all those kind of things. But there's going to be some similarities in who we are. Have you ever noticed that, when family musical groups sing together, somehow their voices just blend as special, just because they kind of have all the same genes, and somehow or other just all kind of match. Well, you know, as a church, we should be living in harmony. There should be a special harmony. It's amazing how you can meet somebody from another part of the world who's saved, and before long you start talking to them, and your spirit starts bearing witness with their spirit, and all of a sudden you feel like you've known this person for years, like they're almost family. And if we're going to corporately show Christ to the world, then we need to all individually be like Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, but on your paper from a couple weeks ago, we saw that we're all to be followers of God, imitators of God. That was the word, imitators of God. Be just like him. That doesn't mean acting and pretending. It means to walk in his shoes, to go where he goes, to do as he would have done. And if that was the case, he said, we should have our daddy's heart. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love, verse 2 says, as Christ also hath loved us. We ought to have our daddy's heart. There ought to be love. I tell you what, listen, that's what tears up churches more than anything else, is selfishness and meanness sometimes, just cantankerousness, if that's a word, cantankerousness. Anyway, being cantankerous, just being selfish, that is, listen, we ought to walk in love. We should have our daddy's habits. Verse 3 says, but fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. We ought to watch our mouth. He says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, have you ever noticed, but people's kids tend to be, you may not want to know this all the time, but kids tend to be an awful lot like their daddy. We tend to become like the people we hang around with. Pastor Dowes was talking about it a few weeks ago. He says the phrase he's never said before until he came here was, oh, my soul. And I say it all the time, oh, my soul, oh, my soul, oh, my soul. And he says, and now his kids say it. And in fact, something happened. I don't know what happened. Something didn't go quite right. And little Lance, how old is Lance, 3? Something like that, he's 3. He looks up at Daddy and says, oh, my soul, Daddy. Something didn't go right. Well, that's what you say, oh, my soul, Daddy. We ought to be able to, we ought to have the same habits, the same mouth. Number 4, we saw we should have our same daddy's hope. And I brought that from there. It says, for this ye know no whoremonger or unclean person. It's talking about inheritance. Don't let anybody steal that from you. We have an inheritance. Not only do we have an inheritance, we get eternal life, but that inheritance can be even sweeter when we've walked with him. And then we found out in verses 8 through 10, we ought to have our daddy's holiness set apart to God. Verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That means all of you were dark at one time or another. We were in darkness, but now are ye light. Jesus is the light. Now he says, if we're in the light, then we ought to walk as children of light because our daddy is the light. When you walk in a room, it's not that we've got this personality or anything. That's not what I'm talking about. But also, you know what? That person walks with God. That person's just like their father. There's a light about them. When Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments and he came down, he didn't realize it, but his face shined. In fact, it says it shined to an extent that they actually had to put a veil on it because it's like they couldn't look on him. But then it would kind of wane. But then he'd go back up and see God. He'd come back down and his face would shine. Now, I don't know what kind of shine that was, whether it literally was a glory from God shining, actually a visible light. I don't know. But I tell you what, our hearts and our lives ought to shine for Christ. We're going to explain that here a little bit. He says it should shine. And how's that? Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what should be shining, goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's going to prove and demonstrate what God wants. What does our daddy want? Let me give you number 1 here tonight. Our daddy says, don't run with the wrong crowd. Daddy says, don't run with the wrong crowd. Look at verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He says, have no fellowship. Don't share company with. Don't be participating with. Don't be going along with the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful, I mean, bears no fruit, unproductive, worthless, a worthless effort, a waste of time, unproductive, the unfruitful works of darkness, the toil and the labor. You know, listen, it's amazing how hard the world works at doing wrong. You ever watch those world's dumbest criminals? You know, and it seems like they're forever pulling somebody out of the chimney or something. You know? they're stuck in here. They're stuck in some ductwork in some pizza place where they're going to find $50 in the cash register anyway. Oh, my soul. It's amazing how hard we work. Boy, if we worked that hard of trying to be what God wanted us to be, think how far along we'd get, the blessing we'd have. He says, have no fellowship. Don't be participating with that waste of time, unproductive fruits of darkness. But he says, rather reprove them. That means to admonish. It means to convict. Now hang on. Now watch me. That does not mean, and we're going to see in a second, that doesn't mean that our job is to go around telling everybody how they're wrong. He says we are children of light, so walk in the light. Now, we've used this word reprove before. The Bible says in John, it says when the Comforter comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That word reprove means to convict or even convince somebody it's something that's wrong, to convince by exposing to. You know what it is? Now, I don't know what you kids probably have never done this, but you know, a little kid who got a set of markers for Christmas. A 2 or 3 year old got a nice set of markers. That's why you get the kind that's washable. But you got this nice set of markers, and he's going to do artwork on the wall for mommy. And he's done his artwork. And about the time he gets done, all of a sudden he realizes. And mommy comes in. She doesn't have to do anything more. We don't have, you don't have to yell and scream. All you got to do is say. And the boy goes. That's how we reprove. By doing right. Now, it's not by saying, I'm going to do right and everybody watch me. No. Because you see, that's not how God, that's not how Daddy would do it. Daddy does right. He says we need to convict. Listen, don't allow someone. He says we need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't allow someone to stop you from obeying your daddy. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Kids, it's the same thing for you all. You got somebody who's getting you in trouble? Sit someplace else. I remember when I was a little boy, I had a cousin of mine. And I grew up kind of, my dad had a fuel oil distributing company. We were kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We were on a main road, but there really wasn't any homes. We lived in the back of the office. And so it was just kind of a commercial area. And there was no kids to play with. Now, I had a sister who was 20 months older than me. And my father's sister-in-law was also a secretary there. And she would bring her daughter, who was exactly, to the day, 1 year older than my sister. So I grew up with girls. That's part of my problem, I guess. But anyway, I grew up with girls. And so I had, but my father's brother-in-law drove a tractor and trailer, and he would go and get the oil and bring it down to the tanks and fill it up and so forth. He drove the big tanker. And he had a son who was almost exactly 1 year older than me. And so every once in a while, he'd bring his son up so we could play. Now, the fact is, I really liked having a boy to play with. I mean, if you play with the girls, I had to be Shirley. For the tea, you know, I mean, this was not good. You know, it was rough. And, you know, and of course, or they're going to play, you know, and say, okay, you're the daddy, go to work. You know, so I got to go find something. Can I come back yet? Nope, still daytime, you know. My cousin would show up, and we would play. But the problem was, though I really was glad to have my cousin come, I knew we'd get in trouble. That's just the way it worked every time. I don't know how it was. I wanted him to be there, but on the other hand, I knew I was going to get in trouble. And sometimes he says, listen, we don't need to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Galatians 5:7 says this. You have it on your paper. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Didn't say what stopped you. He said, who hindered you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We're supposed to be light. Father, our Father is light. And Daddy says, don't run with the wrong crowd. It's going to get you in trouble. Not only that, it's going to dim your light. You know, it's no fun being the odd man out. But we are to be like our Father, and our Father is unlike anybody else. And if our Father is unlike anyone else, and we are like our Father, then we're going to be different than the rest of the world out there. You'll say, well, they'll think I'm peculiar. Welcome to the club. In fact, let me give you letter B. He says, don't even talk about such things. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Don't even go there. Well, I don't do it. Well, don't even think about it. Well, don't even put it in your mind. Listen, we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. I don't care whether someone has spent a lot of time thinking about wrong in a positive way or a negative way, the more we think about it, the worse off we are. Because it's in our mind. It's in our thoughts. We're thinking about it. It becomes part of who we are. Listen, our little minds kind of build things up. It kind of, you get a thought, you get that little thought, and it kind of drips down into your soul, and just until all of a sudden it gets down there deep and deep until it becomes part of who you are. You say, well, I can handle it. That's what the devil wants you to think. He wants us to think. He says, don't even think of such things. Proverbs 24:7 says, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischief person, and the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is abomination to men. Listen, that phrase there, the thought of foolishness is sin. Listen, if what I'm thinking about is sin, then why should I bother even think about it? I shouldn't be spending any more time on that than necessary, except to say, don't do it. Be done. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now that word manifest is a fancy little word. It simply means to show it for what it is. It shows it. And he says, all things that are reproved, shown for what they are by being exposed to, being exposed, are made manifest by the light. Now, back to the little boy's drawing on the wall. You turn off the light, you can't see it. And we think there's no problem. There's no problem, can't see it. But you turn on the light, all of a sudden you can see it. When I was a kid, I'm not going to get into what it was, but I went to a friend's house one day, and when I was a kid, black lights were a big thing. Remember those purple black lights? They call them black lights, you know? And you could have something, you know, looks one way, and then you turn the black light on, and all of a sudden another whole picture would come off of that poster. And the fact is, this kid had this poster, and his mom and dad thought everything was just fine. But he'd go in his room, and he'd lock the door, and he'd turn on his black light, and then he had the poster he really wanted. So when you turned on the light, it made it manifest. It showed it for what it really is. That's why sometimes we don't like to hear the Word of God. There was a phrase this morning, I can't remember now what verse we were talking about, but it the fact is, we want to be where God wants us to be. And one of those phrases I forgot to mention, it basically tells us to tell God to walk on our toes. Step on my toes. You know, we have folks in our church, you think they might be crazy, but they'll tell me, step on my toes tonight, preacher. Step on my toes tonight. Make sure that I, remember, hit me with a 2x4 if I have to. If that's what you got to do to get my attention, do, because I want to have my full attention on you. Because I'm, listen, ADHD, I'm thinking here and I'm thinking there, and I've got my mind on this foolishness and my mind on that foolishness, and I want to be straight exactly where he wants me to be. Lord, if you have to hit me with a 2x4, hit me with a 2x4, because I want to know what's right, because my heart is after you. It's perfect toward you, because that's where the blessing is. And see, listen, sometimes we are so worried about entertain. Look, by the way, be careful what appetites that you build up in your kids. We create appetites. That's why we're not going to lower the lights and have a praise band back here with the teens. That's not the appetite we're looking to build. You say, well, you're gonna be able to keep them if you keep the kids. If you don't, and I'm not saying you got to be number one, the Lord. You know, come on now. I mean, we gotta stay awake. I understand, but if I'm appealing to the flesh, then I'm not doing myself any favors. In fact, we're trying to get folks to hear the word of God, but then we get their mind on something that's fleshly, and then all of a sudden they're supposed to flip the switch and be able to think about things that are spiritual. Well, come on, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Listen, there's things we should not even think about, shouldn't be spoken of. The thought of sin is foolishness. And all these things are reproved when you turn on the light, and you turn on the light when you use the Word of God, when you live the Word of God. If we're living the Word of God, it's going to turn on the light. Now, sometimes we don't like it when you turn on the light, because it shows me for what I am. But if you've got a heart, if someone's got a heart that wants to know, they're going to say, turn on the light and make it bright. Turn on the light and make it bright. It is not our job to be going around and correcting everyone that's not doing right. That's a little tattletale sister. I had one of those. If you really want to show that something is wrong, do so by doing right, without telling anybody what you're doing. God will bless the right and validate the reproof in the hearts of the others. I really believe that. We reprove, convict by exposing, by simply being light as Jesus is the light. In your Bible there, Ephesians 5:8 says, just earlier in the same chapter, Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, wait a minute. Look at verse 9. It comes after verse 8. Verse 8 ends up in a colon. The two dots. We're so used to saying two dots and the smiley face when we're texting all this stuff. That actually means something, by the way. There's two dots, not the eyeballs of a smiley face. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Why? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Living in the light means living in the fruit of the Spirit, because that's who He is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Not miserableness, cantankerousness. Here, that's the word again. I'm sure it's in there. It's in the dictionary someplace. Being cantankerous, gloomy, waiting, what do you got for me today? Listen, you say, well, you can't build a church like, listen, what is a church? Who know Christ, who are trying to help others to grow in Christ. A ball game's not church. A concert's not church. Well, it's actually serious. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about life and death. Something's going to happen. We're talking about homes being saved. We're talking about God making us a new creation in Christ. I'm not talking about pumping us up so I feel good so I can go face tomorrow. Because you know what? It wasn't that going to take long to get the wind out of my sails. 1 John 1 says this, verse 4 says, "In these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all." So the closer we are to God, the more light there's going to be. The less darkness is going to be. Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him," there's that word. He said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." But if we say we have this, 1 John 1, verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now, wait a minute. That word darkness, sin tarnishes or shades our light. You know you've watched. You say, "That's a pretty good person. I like that person." Then there's something, little doodad, little thing happens, and you say, "Huh, isn't that something? I always thought they kind of had things squared away. Isn't that funny?" All of a sudden you think of it. This is weird. This has nothing to do with light and darkness, but you'll understand my illustration. The picnic last night, I wore a plaid shirt and sneakers. Not only that, I rolled up the sleeves and my forearms were showing. You know how many people said, "Pastor, I've never seen you in a plaid shirt. Look at that." Well, one of them called them sneakers, some of them called them squeakers. And I went home and on the kitchen floor, sure enough, they squeak. Yeah. But anyway, squeakers or sneakers, they looked at me like, "Wow. Now, wait a minute. Am I not allowed to wear sneakers and plaid shirts?" Well, sure I am. But it was unlike my character. At least unlike my habit. The rest of you do that all the time. "I'm not allowed to." Well, yeah, you are. But wait a minute, watch me. People look at you and say, "Well, you call yourself a Christian. You did what? Did you see what she did?" Now, she might actually, that person that she was watching, maybe actually be a better Christian than the one who's complaining, but they said, "Well, they walk this is their standard." And all of a sudden, they've knocked their standard down a notch. And I said, "Well, look at that." You know what happens? Our light's not shining quite as much. Now, I'm not preaching against plaid shirts and sneakers. I'm saying, though, you said, "Well, you know what? We got to have some fun." Got to be careful. We got to be careful. But he says, verse 7 in 1 John says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness." Now, wait a minute. If I can confess my sin, get right with God, he cleanses the sin. What does that mean? He shines the glass and the light shines all the brighter. He cleans it up. I was talking to Tug the other day. I had my car washed a few years ago, and it was one of those places where your kids clean the cars, you know. And when I drove away, the window was dirtier than when I went there. The water, they were cleaning the cars, had so much dirt in it. By the time they cleaned the windows, you know, and it dried, there were so many speckles and gray. It was actually a film on my windshield. It was worse than when I drove in. They needed to throw out the old and put in fresh water. Clean it up with the water of life. God says, "I'll clean and freshen you all up. You confess my sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you." Means your light can shine all the better. Verse 14, Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, I don't have any light. Christ will give you light. He said, wake up. Wake up. We're sleeping. We don't realize we're Rip Van Winkles. We've stopped thinking about our life with Christ and the dust and the leaves and everything just kind of clouding all over ourselves. And we've been sleeping so long that we haven't cleaned ourselves off. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I take a shower every morning, all those kind of things, you know, and get all the junk out of your eyes and all this stuff, you know, all that gross stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not that bad, but you know what I mean? You know, my dad, I have the same skin that my dad has. It's oily. It's just oily. They say that it'll keep the wrinkles away, but I don't think mine, I just kind of keep them stretched. It doesn't wrinkle because I keep it stretched out. You know what I'm saying? I keep this stretched out. There's no wrinkles down there either. But they say oils will keep it with that. But the fact is, I got to clean all that off. Can you imagine? Maybe it's because I grew up with those girls, but I have a hard time going camping and not taking a bath every day. You know, if you guys go camping, you're gonna, you know, you go out. I don't take a bath for 3 or 4 or 5 days. You know, go home and because I can't stand it. My skin starts to crawl. I gotta clean up. I just can't do it. He said, you've been sleeping on the job. Don't sleep on the job, Daddy says. He says, you got awake. In fact, maybe some of us need to rise from the dead. Maybe we need to be brought to life by the Spirit of God. And Christ will give you the light that you need. And the light shows what sin is. It's not our job to tell them what it is. It's our job to live it. Number two. So Daddy, okay, number one, Daddy says, don't run with the wrong crowd. It'll mess up your light. It'll get you dirty. Number two, Daddy says, be careful and watch where you're walking. Daddy says, be careful and watch where you're walking. Look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word walk there's some walk means your tread, your walk through life and so forth. This word walk here has a little bit slightly different connotation. It means to walk at large. And that doesn't mean walk fat. That's not what it's saying here. It means to walk in public, to tread in public. Remember, folks are watching you. He says, when you're out, when you're living your life, you're treading through public, you're out there in the world, he says, I want you to walk circumspectly. And that gives you the idea of exactly. In other words, exactly like Daddy says. That means being different, to be perfect, to do what he has to drive, to try to be what he needs to be, to the nth detail, the nth degree. He says, walk circumspectly, exactly like he wants me. Now, not close, but try your best to do exactly what he wants. I always like the, you always use this one, circumspectly. That's walks on a picket fence, circumspectly. You ever watch a cat go across a picket fence? You know, somehow he can just get right over top of those little points and everything, just kind of walks like perfectly, because he knows one misplaced foot could be a problem. Talk about a splinter. That's a poke. Could be a hole. He says, now listen, we're the church. We're doing what the church is supposed to do. We're the body of Christ. We're representing him in the world. We're supposed to walk as light as he is in the light. So we want to make sure that we're light. We're not getting dirty. Wait a minute. That means walking down the street after a rain, you make sure you watch where you're walking, because you're going to get it dirty. Merle has one of these. I had a white suit. They called me Boss Hog when I was wearing it. But I had this white suit. You couldn't hardly, some of you young folks don't know who Boss Hog was off of the Dukes of Hazzard. He was a big guy. Anyway, they also called me Ernest Angley. If I remember, remember that guy. But anyway, had this white suit, but you couldn't hardly do anything because you're going to get it dirty. You had to walk exactly, do this and do that because you're going to get a mess. It's kind of weird. I almost kind of had to walk like this with my feet apart because my heel, the cuff would hit the heel of my shoe, and I have these black marks on the cuff of my white suit from the heel. Not that my shoes weren't clean, but you know how what heels will do. And so I had to walk circumspectly. I had to walk just exactly because if I don't, I'm going to get dirty and I'm going to shade my light. I'm not going to be clean anymore. There are going to be some marks on my testimony. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, watch, not as fools. That word there gives you the idea of haphazardly. Oh, it doesn't matter. We had that big rain a couple weeks ago, and we've got some young boys that live across the street. It was a lot of rain, and they had this great big wheel. And the guy's a pretty good sized boy. We had this great big wheel, and their driveway comes down a hill, and kind of goes down onto the road into the development, and then right across. On their side of the road there, there's actually a big old gully there that fills up with water and comes out the culvert and comes down to the... Anyway, it had rained. The rain was gone. And here they come down the street. Splash, 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 splash. And they went down and they came down the hill and they were come down. They were spinning out in front of this, so they could right to the big puddle. And they get there and they spin that thing out and they come down, they slide down, it flop over into the culvert, there's much water in there. And they're splashing, they're having a great time. And one of the boys was still going, and one of them had gone into the house and came back in. And he said, Mom says it's okay as long as we don't get too wet. Too late. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. You know, we have that devil may care attitude. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Well, okay. It's a nice little attitude to say, well, we can't worry about every little detail of life, understand. But we need to not walk as fools. We need to walk circumspectly. In fact, it says, but as wise. And that means thinking clear. Because we have a testimony. And we need to be light. Daddy says, be careful. Watch where you walk. And number three, Daddy says, don't waste your life. Daddy says, don't waste your life. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming means to buy up. The word you're looking for there is to rescue from loss. To rescue from loss. Improve your opportunity. Don't waste your life. We've been here since 6 o'clock. We cannot go back to 6 o'clock Sunday night, August 30th. Can't. Now, I don't think it's a waste of time to be in God's church, spend some time with Him, learn His Word, to be encouraged by His people. I think it's good. You invested. You spent some money, so to speak. You says, don't lose it. He says, rescue it. Buy it up. Buy it up. Invest your life, invest your time wisely. But you know, we can just kind of piddle away our lives. Only one life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. To rescue means to not lose. To lose a young person is to lose a life. And we say, now what a waste. And that's true. But we need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're going to miss it. We've got a light to shine. We got to keep the light bright because that's what we're called to do. We're the body of Christ. Number two, though, underneath there, it says redeeming the time. That word time there means season. Clears your sinuses and keeps everybody awake. I don't know. I wasn't doing anything. Anyway, we get power surges every once in a while. That could be something like there. Is the word time means season, occasion. Here's what we're looking for. Opportunity. The time. This is the time to do this. This is the opportunity to do this. We have one life, one opportunity to live this life. And he says, redeeming the time, rescue. Don't lose it because we have one opportunity. Time is precious. We only have so much of it. We don't want to lose any of it. We don't want to waste any of it. And too often we just waste away our days. We become self-consumed. But we need to rescue what opportunities that we have from being wasted. Every season of life is just as important as any other. Let me say that again. Every season of life is just as important as any other. There's some times when you're learning to grow. Kids, you're going to have a life to live. You're going to have to make decisions. Who are you going to marry, Eli? You know, chances are you're going to get married. Have a couple kids of your own. How are you going to know how to raise those kids? Well, I don't know. Guess I'll figure it out when I get there. No! We have a job to do right now to prepare. There's stages of life. And God wants us to use everyone. Listen, there was a time, and you've heard me say this, there was a time my wife, she's one of these folks who likes to do everything. If the preacher said, do this, that somebody needs to do this, she wants to do it. It's not that she wants to be up front. She just says, someone needs to do it, I will do it. And there was times when I had to say, when our kids were young, we had four little kids, I said, you can't do everything, Janet. You just cannot do everything. She was singing the choir, directing the orchestra, teaching a Sunday school class for kids, and she was also doing the children's choir. And I forget what else she was doing, but she had all these things on her, and I'm thinking, come on now, you can't do everything. I said, listen, we're still in the minivan stage of life. You know what she needed to do? At that point in time, we need to raise four kids. We need to raise four kids. That was her job. Redeeming the time. Make the most of where you are in life right now. Our house is kind of empty. Nathan's back at college. And you know what? This is kind of new for us. Janet and I went out to lunch, just the two of us this morning. I kind of liked it. Nothing personal. But I kind of liked it. Just the two of us. A whole lot less expensive. You heard about the young couple were out having dinner, and they had left the kids at home for the first time, and she was having a hard time. She just, I wonder if the kids are okay, and this and that. I wonder what they're doing, and so forth. He said, I'll tell you, her young husband says, well, if it make you any feel better, if it make you feel any better, I'll spill my milk and rub jam in your hair. Make you feel at home. We have a time, we have a season. Every season of life is just as important as any other. And make the best use of your time by doing it God's way, not our way. Not going around correcting everyone that just makes everybody else upset and on the edge. Do it God's way first. And even if it appears to be slow in working, it's going to accomplish more and accomplish it quicker in the long run. Our efforts will just make matters worse. What are we supposed to do? Show His love. Show the light. Shine. Letter B. It says we're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. Letter B. The days are evil. Look, watch. The times we live in are evil. They're hurtful. They're bad. They're harmful. They're even lewd. But somebody needs to stand up for righteousness, and if it's not going to be us, who's going to do it? There are many hurts out there. We need to rescue the time we're living in so that somebody says, listen, there is light at the end of this tunnel. This tunnel. There is hope. There is something that Christ, that God can do in your life. There is something different than what we've lived through. Listen. People walk into this church, it ought to be an oasis. Somebody gets near you, there ought to be something just sweet. There ought to be just a comfort place. But we're running around and we're just as frantic and hectic and angry and yelling and screaming like everybody else in the world. We're not shining our light. We've got to shine the light. We're the body of Christ. If Christ would do it, do it. If he wouldn't do it, then don't do it. So, well, I'm not sure what else to do. Well, let's find out what he would do. Let's look in his book. He says, verse 17, he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is what Daddy is saying. We need to seize the opportunities that we have right now and not lose any more than we absolutely cannot help but lose. There's some things you can't help, but every opportunity we can, we make as most of it as we can. God's given you opportunities every day to be a blessing. We may not have much longer. The trump may sound, and those that are saved may be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We can redeem the time. We can save our opportunities from being wasted by what we do with the time we have. How we act and interact with others instead of living for self. We can redeem the time by living for others. Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, instead of saying this is my time to live for me, say this is a great opportunity to do something significant for others. How are we to walk? How are we to live before men in order to save what time we have left from being wasted? He says, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord in these matters? Number four, and we're all going to be almost done, because I've done this with you before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But since we've in this perspective, we want to see this. Number four, Daddy says, walk like he walks. Walk like he walks. Go through life like he goes through life. Here's the will of the Lord. Look at what it says here. Listen, we have the attitudes of the Spirit. We have the Spirit in us, so let the Spirit live through us. We are the body of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Now let him live us. Let him live through us. Let them see us, because in him is light. In him is no darkness at all. So the more they actually see the Spirit of God who lives us coming out of us, the more they're going to see the light. The more that they see the light, the more it reproves the works of darkness, and the more it shows God for who he is. We've got to do that. Now watch me. Back 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is that? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now listen, if you've got the Holy Spirit living through you, there are three attitudes that's going to show up. There's three attitudes that's going to show up. Let me give you the first one. Well, let me give you letter B. I want to show you daddy's demeanor. Demeanor. D-E-M-E-A-N-O-R. D-E-M-E-A-N-O-R. He says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We talked about a little bit about that this morning. That doesn't mean you get more of the Spirit. It means the Spirit gets more of you. Now, what is the Spirit? Let's look at it this way. Daddy's DNA. I'm so much like my father, it's almost scary. We look alike, we sound alike. He's already in glory, but I tell you, we always called him Pop-Pop, and they're going to call me Poppy. And I'll tell you what, we look an awful lot alike. Every once in a while, it scares me. I turn around and look in the mirror, there's Dad. We have the same DNA. We have the, listen, we get saved. You got some of God's DNA in you. You become a new creation in Christ, if you will. So letter C, we have three attitudes. Letter C, here it is. A rejoicing attitude. If you're running around and you always got a chip on your shoulder, you're angry, you're pushy, or you're and all this kind of stuff, listen, that's not the Spirit of God. He says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess. In other words, don't let the flesh overpower you. But it says, be filled. Let the Spirit of God become the dominant influence in your life. Here it is, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you know years ago, you used to go places and you'd have sangings? Not singings, sangings. Sangings. And people just sit. If you look at some of those old things, and they were all done up in four-part harmony, and they had all this stuff going on, and somebody, so the ladies were singing the soprano and the alto and the tenor and the bass, and it wasn't just block harmony. You have da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, dee-dee-dee-da, ba-da-da-da, dee-dee-dee. And they just enjoyed singing. And they'd sing for hours and hours on time, over and over, just sing and sing and sing. They had a rejoicing attitude. God, the Lord had put a new song in my heart. Many shall see it and fear, Psalm 40, verse 3. You ought to have a song in your heart. God hasn't put a song in your heart yet. Well, then maybe you don't have God yet in your heart. We live in a society where if you walk down America whistling, having a good time, or singing or something, they think you're a little loopy. Come on, how can you be happy in a world like this? Because I've got someone who's bigger than the world. Greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. This is truth. This goes for us too. Someone asked me, said, what can you do when I do these music seminars? What can we do to get the teenagers to sing? I said, get joy in their heart and they'll sing. You know why teenagers don't sing? Because they don't have the joy in their heart yet. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. If it's real in your life, it's going to come out. I can't tell you, I've had a lot of people sing choirs for me over the years who've never sung choirs before. He got some big old guy who singles was for sissies when he was growing up. But then he got saved. He got a song in his heart and said, you think I can come sing? I like to sing. Can I come sing? Anybody sing like this? What, you know, he was got a song in his heart. He wants to sing. Make a joyful noise. Listen, our problem is not entertaining them to death. The problem is they don't have the joy of the Lord in their heart. They've forgotten what he's done in their life. He's forgotten he saved their dirty, rotten soul, given them heaven, given them everything in between. There's a new life because of Jesus. We ought to sing. If you really believe that, we'd be happy. Listen, if I just told you that you won $1 million, you know what you think? All my problems are gone. I got $1 million. Listen, that could be gone in a minute. But I tell you what, I've got Jesus. God himself in my heart, he's going to guide me and direct me. A Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I got to do is follow. That's something to sing about because, you see, he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. You've got the Spirit of God, you're going to have a rejoicing spirit. Letter D, you're going to have a grateful attitude. Grateful. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to reprove darkness, let Christ come out in you. How? Rejoice. Get here about 5 or 10 after 9 on Sunday morning. And stand in this hallway, and eventually you're going to hear Bill Curry come down the hallway singing. You're going to hear him singing. It won't be long. He's going to get his bulletins, and he's going to head to that back door, and he's going to be singing down there. Are you grateful, or is nothing ever good enough for you? filled with the Spirit, showing who daddy is, he's going to have a grateful spirit. Letter E, he's going to have a humble spirit. Humble attitude. Rejoicing attitude, grateful attitude, and a humble attitude. Verse 20, never even read it to you. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A submissive attitude, humble, caring for others, humble of mind, unselfish. Now we're the body of Christ. As children of God, we should be followers of God. As we should follow him as dear children, be just like he is. I cannot imagine Jesus getting up in the morning and says, oh, my soul. Got all those people coming in here. They're all wanting to get, they're all going to want to get healed or something. All right, come on, boys. It's another day on the... Can you imagine? No. He's going to have a rejoicing spirit. He's going to have a grateful spirit. And he's going to have a submissive, a humble spirit. Let me serve you. Let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do for you. Now, daddy is not really expecting much. Daddy just wants us to be like him. Daddy is even willing to come along and help us be like him. The main problem is that we don't want daddy tagging along, looking over our shoulders and telling us what to do. We want to do as we please, and daddy just ruins our fun. And in the meantime, we're wasting the few precious days that we have on the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being our daddy. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord, help us to be like you, redeeming the time, being light on this earth just as you were light. May we be followers as dear children of you. Heads are bowed and our eyes.